The holidays are a time of financial stress often for many people. The higher than usual inflation we've seen over the past year may make it worse. Even though inflation slowed a bit in October, prices are still high compared to 2021. The latest numbers from the Bureau of Labor Statistics show that prices are up nearly 8% over last year. We're talking about how to do your holiday shopping in a time of inflation, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you already started this shopping? Are you seeing higher prices? Are you changing your plans? In general, have you, over the years, changed the way you do things like exchange presents with your friends or family? Have you dialed things back? Do you make your own gifts for people, in part maybe to save money or have more meaningful gifts? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org. Christine Whelan is a clinical professor of consumer science at the School of Human Ecology at UW-Madison, where she teaches classes on happiness and well-being. She's founding director of the Money, Relationships, and Equality Initiative. Christine, welcome back to Central Time.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Before we get to some of our shopping tactics and ideas, we know inflation's been up over this last year. How much do you think that's going to affect the prices people pay as they shop for gifts?
Well, we can already see with Black Friday and Cyber Monday numbers that it has been impacting how people are shopping. So on Black Friday, we saw that more people really than ever are engaging in this these sort of buy now and pay later plans. That gives us a sense that the holidays are really taking a toll on people's budgets. And yet, we 'tis the season to give, and we still want to do it. So we're going to sort of see how that holiday season plays out. But I predict it's going to be pretty hard on people's financial situation.
What do you think about the idea of budgeting before we head to the store or before we go online to do our shopping in any year, much less this year with higher inflation?
Having a holiday budget is probably the single smartest thing you can do, because not only are you thinking about how much you can spend, but if you think about why you are spending, who you want to give to, the idea then is that you want to be spending in keeping with your values. And we all have limited resources. So if you say, this is the amount that I can put toward my holiday, now what do I value the most? Who do I want to spend on? And who can I say, you know, this year, I love you. Let's celebrate bigger next year, and really kind of have that balance of the desire to celebrate and share and the desire not to be socked with a terrible credit card bill in January.
Now, over the years in my extended family, and there's a lot of people in my extended family, there was an evolution where everybody kind of tried to buy things for everybody. And then the grownups did just, you know, like a Secret Santa sort of deal. Then people steered away from that. And everybody seemed to like that. They spent less money and there was less stress trying to find presents. Can we negotiate with the people in our lives to say, hey, maybe we don't have to buy so much stuff?
Absolutely. I have tried so many things over the years. Let's see. There was the year that I decided I was going to bake goods for everybody, bake lots of treats and cookies. And that was fine and good in theory, right up until I ended up spending a whole lot of money to send fairly stale baked goods across the country to people. And so and so then I realized that, yes, there needs to be some negotiation around this. For our family, it's really focused on the kids. The adults probably don't need a whole lot more things. What we really want to do is save up to be able to spend time with each other. And that doesn't necessarily have to be over the holidays. So what your family can come together. And do you want to spend mostly on the kids and not the grownups? In fact, do you want to encourage the idea of no single gift, but actually spending the money and talking about how the money is going to be spent to gather together as a group? Whatever you choose to do, having conversations about money and having conversations about your values, those are the things that really do bring us together at all times of the year.
We're talking about holiday gift giving when prices are up because of inflation. Christine Whelan stays with us, clinical professor of consumer science at UW-Madison. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you've been shopping, have you found higher than expected prices for the stuff you were hoping to buy for people? Have you changed this year or over the years the way you go about exchanging presents with people? Maybe cutting some of the shopping and negotiating like, hey, let's do this instead. Let us know. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation with Christine Whelan, UW-Madison Clinical Professor of Consumer Science, about how to approach holiday gift giving when inflation makes things more expensive, maybe puts things out of reach. Still time if you'd like to join in. Maybe you're busy shopping right now. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Let us know if inflation has affected your gift giving and gift buying plans this year. If you've changed things over the years, call 800-642-1234. Christine, I understand you are wanting us to think about the concept of thrift and being thrifty, maybe in a different way than we might expect.
So thrift is this wonderful but totally misunderstood word. And thrift does not just mean buying things cheap or being miserly. Actually, thrift means using your resources in keeping your values, not only for your own benefit, but for the benefit of others. And so if we take a thrifty approach to holiday shopping, then I think we can kind of have a little bit of a switch in attitude and a switch in perspective. Rather than saying, gosh, you know, inflation is making things so hard and I can't have these things, instead, we can perhaps say, and really honestly say, I have limited resources. We all have limited resources. Let's figure out what those resources are and how I can use them in keeping with my values to boost my sense of happiness and well-being and also make a positive impact on the lives of others. And when we think of it that way, to me anyway, it seems like we are thinking in the positive end of the opportunities and understanding that resources are always limited. So maybe we can embrace a way to do this from the heart even more this year.
Now, you mentioned buy now, pay later, and of course, there are credit cards of various forms. Are we just putting off the holiday shopping pain until January if we rely too much on that going in?
If we buy now and pay later, not only are we putting off the pain, but in fact, we are really undermining our own happiness and well-being. There's lots of research that shows that actually the best way to kind of buy happiness is to take the pain up front and to spend the money so then you can get the item or have the experience without that weight of the credit card bill coming your way. That's very, very hard to do over the holidays. One way that you can do it potentially is by trying things that cost no money at all. For example, you could drive around your neighborhood and look at all of the holiday lights. These things are kind of fun to do with your loved ones and family, and they don't cost a lot of money. So thinking about ways to spend time without always having a credit card bill associated with it on the back end, those are ways to maximize your happiness.
Let's bring on a caller. Eric is with us in Door County. Eric, hi.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. What's your story, Eric?
I was just saying one way we decide to save money this year is we used to, all our brothers and sisters and our spouses, everyone used to buy everyone presents. But this year we decided to, we all put our names in a hat. And each person just got one person's name, and then we set a cap at $75, and we're just going to buy one person a present, and we're doing it that way this year. So it's a good way to save money, and everyone still gets a present, and everyone's happy, but, you know, you save instead of having to buy everyone.
Excellent. Eric, thanks a lot for sharing that. Christine, and again, negotiating with our gift-giving circle, in this case, Eric's family, can be a way to think ahead and make sure we're not all spending too much money.
Indeed, and that's a wonderful way to think about it and to talk about it. The fact that Eric's family had this conversation is really the important thing. And at the Money Relationships and Equality Initiative that I direct, this is what we talk about. I mean, nobody likes to talk about money, especially when times are tight. And yet, if we can turn it into a discussion about what matters most to me and why does it matter to me, and then how, as a family, how can we make it happen? Really, that sort of difficult conversation becomes one of possibilities and hopefully coming together with, you know, with joy. The other tip that I always think of that I often do is that sometimes I give somebody something, not that I've purchased, but something that I have. So I will often give one of my daughters a piece of jewelry that I had, you know, some fun costume jewelry that I enjoyed for years that they might now enjoy too. And this is a way of passing on traditions. And, you know, just because you're giving a gift doesn't mean you have to buy it new.
Thanks for calling in, Eric. You don't have to get me anything this year, by the way, Eric. Christine, how about homemade gifts? Sometimes they're like the awesomest thing. Sometimes, when to make our own gifts, when to not to.
I think you really have to think about who is the recipient of the gifts. There are going to be some people who would much prefer a homemade gift to a store-bought gift because it would show that you put time and effort into it. There would be other people who would roll their eyes at your attempt at arts and crafts. And in that case, they are not the appropriate recipients. So often when we think about gifts, we just think about a list and checking everything off. Instead, if we can try to think about who we are giving and what they care about. Sometimes even a gift certificate of an in-kind donation can be really wonderful. To a new parent, the idea of babysitting is worth more than anything you can buy in a store.
And I wanted to ask about kids, Christine, and expectation setting. You know, a lot of families some years might find themselves in a position where, yeah, we got kids a lot of gifts last year, and we're not in a position to do that this year. How do you kind of manage those expectations for kids?
So certainly kids really have this joy of opening things and new things. And that, you know, so this is where you have to talk in terms of your family values. The adults may say, in fact, we're going to pool all our money so that the kids get gifts and we don't need to give gifts as adults. But when times are really tight, this is a really excellent time to have a conversation with the kids and to say, you know, we have a limited budget and what we're choosing to spend it on this year is bringing everyone together for a wonderful meal. You know, even these holiday meals this year are going up in price so substantially that, quote unquote, just gathering the family together is very expensive. So talking to the kids about the importance of time together, of the experience of family, and then saying, you know, hopefully next year we can all work together and pool our resources. And if there is something special that we can have our eye on for the future, we can work hard and hopefully move toward it.
Christine, thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you so much and have a wonderful holiday season.
You too. That's Christine Whelan, clinical professor of consumer science at the School of Human Ecology at UW-Madison, where she teaches classes on happiness and well-being. She's the founding director of the Money, Relationships, and Equality Initiative. She talked to us about holiday gift giving in a time of inflated prices. What does dinner time cooking usually look like for you? Maybe you pull up a recipe, head over to the store, buy a bunch of ingredients special to that recipe. Our next guest says there's an easier way to cook that doesn't require that special trip to the grocery store. He says you could save time, money, and effort by seeing the possibilities in what you already have in your kitchen and embracing a little bit of experimentation along the way. It's Food Friday. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Can you make a meal with what you have at home right now? No special trips for that one extra ingredient? Or do you like to start with the recipe and shop from there? Do you have questions about how to improvise with the stuff that is laying around? Do you have an ingredient you need advice for right now, this weekend? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Wes Martin is culinary director at Milk Street. You can check out Milk Street Radio here on the Ideas Network Sunday mornings at 10. Wes was part of the team that developed the recipes for the new cookbook. It's called Cook What You Have. Make a meal out of almost anything. Wes, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you. I'm pleased to be here.
I love the philosophy I see in the book. Can you talk a little bit about the driving force behind Cook What You Have?
Sure. Well, you know, I think most people really struggle with, especially with families, what do I make for dinner tonight? And they're always out of ideas. And really, this book is meant to kind of give people some guidance. It's about keeping your pantry stocked and knowing how to pair some things together. And they don't have to be fancy, you know, but if you have a little vinegar, you have some miso, you have some good citrus in your refrigerator, you can really liven up a weeknight meal without a lot of trouble.
Yeah, let's stay in the pantry or shelf or whatever for a minute. You mentioned a few ingredients. You give a pretty extensive list there of those little things that could push our normal foods over the top a little bit. Talk some more about the kind of things that are handy to have on hand when we're improvising with what we got.
Sure. Well, you know, most people have canned beans, canned tuna. I would bet everyone in this country has some dried pasta of some sort. But if you add a few of what we call must-haves, and here at Milk Street, we do many recipes from all over the world. So we have the great fun of being able to work with great recipes and different flavors from every background on the planet. And so a lot of those we found we've used many, many times in a lot of recipes. And they really can add a lot of flavor to your dinners. Things like hoisin sauce, things like gochujang, that is sort of all the rage now. And you can find gochujang in the supermarket. That's a fermented chili paste. It doesn't add just heat. It adds some nice fruity warmth to a dish. Even gochujang with pasta, chicken, and green beans is delicious. And it's going to be completely different than what you might normally make on a weeknight. We also work a lot with kimchi, which you can find in most grocery stores now. Miso is a wonderful ingredient. You can make salad dressings with that. You can make glazes for fish. You can marinate chicken in that. It has that nice, earthy saltiness to it. You add a little bit of rice vinegar or even lemon or lime juice and some honey, and you have a quick marinade to toss some chicken thighs in and pop them into the oven.
Now, you mentioned those canned beans. Once upon a time, I was like, oh, I got to buy dry beans and cook them and blah, blah, blah. And then I had kids and forget about that. You have no problem at all with canned beans. No shame in cooking as I do with canned beans. Could you talk about how versatile they are?
Oh, yeah. No, you can't look away from the canned beans. They are a lifesaver. You know, if you're doing a really special dish and you're making a cassoulet or even making some homemade hummus and you want to start with dry beans, great. But otherwise, forget it. The canned bean is the way to go because you can make soups with them. You can make spreads with them. They're great to add to stews, to add protein. If you just happen to have a few vegetables that you want to cook up and you add some beans to them, then you have basically a complete meal without needing meat. So beans are a very important part of the pantry, no doubt about it.
You shared a few recipes with us. We've got them online at WPR.org/Food Friday. And there are the beans, creamy pinto bean and tomato soup. Can you tell us a little bit about this one?
Yeah, this is great. Here's a couple of great ingredients. You know, and if you go to the grocery store and you pick up canned things, buy a couple cans so you have them on hand. And then you're not panicked when you need to make dinner. But for this particular soup, we take some tomatoes, some fire roasted tomatoes. You buy those, you've already got a little extra flavor added to your finished dish. We throw those in a blender with some onion and garlic, chili powder, and puree that up. We cook that down in a pot for a bit, and then again back to the blender, canned beans and chicken broth or vegetable broth, puree that, mix them together, and you have this really rich, delicious, creamy soup without actually having cream or even any dairy in it. And then, of course, you can garnish that with whatever you have on hand, some crushed tortilla chips. If you've got a little bit of queso fresco cheese or even some feta, be delicious on here. So this is a prime example of the versatility of a canned bean.
It's Food Friday. We're talking to Wes Martin, culinary director at Milk Street. Their new cookbook is called Cook What You Have. Make a meal out of almost anything. We've got that soup and a couple other recipes at WPR.org/Food Friday. Okay, Wes, our producer Rachel Vasquez says she never knows what to do with boneless, skinless chicken breasts. Pretty standard kind of meat to have around. She's worried it can be kind of boring. What advice do you have for someone starting with staring at those boneless, skinless chicken breasts and not knowing what to do with them?
Well, there is where you want to go to your spice cabinet. If you get yourself some cumin and even some turmeric. A lot of people have garlic powder. Make a nice spice rub. Those can be simple roasted chicken. We have a great recipe that I think you're running as well, the chicken with apples mm-hmm. and cider vinegar. That's a wonderful recipe because most everyone has this on hand. You have chicken breast, even from the freezer, thaw them out. You want to saute some onions and some apples or even some pears if you have them. So there's a nice sweet element there. Add a splash of cider vinegar and some chicken broth, and you have a really pretty elegant meal with very few ingredients. And that chicken is really going to come to life with that bright vinegary onion and apple compote underneath it.
That's right. That recipe for chicken with apples and cider vinegar sauce we have online at WPR.org/Food Friday. Wes, based on some other past Food Friday conversations, I've made it a goal to never throw away bread. And I found lots of good things to do with, you know, bread that's not as fresh as it could be anymore. Here's another one that I haven't done much with, though. A strata, a savory quiche kind of thing with bread in it. You've got a spinach, ham, and cheddar strata as one example. What is a strata? How do we put them together?
Well, this is, you're right. Don't ever throw away bread. Even the ends, the crusts, the rest of that baguette, just throw them in the freezer because this is a great base recipe. And a strata is basically, I would call it a savory bread pudding. You make a very easy custard mix with eggs and milk. You whip that together, and then you can toss literally anything. In this case, we use frozen spinach. If you've got some leftover steamed broccoli from the dinner the night before, and some cheese, any bits of meat, this is a good place to use up lunch meat. If you've got some ham, and you kind of toss that all together and bake it in the oven, and it turns into this delicious, almost like a savory, if you've ever had French toast casserole. It's along those lines, but it's much, much more for dinner than the French toast probably is. And it's a great way to use up things that you have in your pantry.
I should do this more because for a long time, I was making a lot of bread pudding. My kids who don't like it were making fun of me for the amount of bread pudding I made. So strata would be another good tool in the toolkit. Now, you've got a lot of recipes in the book, and I love how you organize it, Wes. There's a thing where, like, if you have blank, here are some of the things you can make with them. Talk about that organizing principle.
Yeah, it's we've got a great little sort of table here. If you've got some pasta, you can make, we have 20, 30 recipes in here. That's really the key. If you've got a staple of ingredients, that you've got some canned beans, you've got some canned tuna, some pasta, start with that first ingredient and go from there. Have you got any fresh vegetables left in the refrigerator that you can use up in a nice pasta dish? Add some hoisin sauce. You can go with sort of an Asian flavors and pasta. It'll be something very different. But it's really, I think people are also afraid. I love to cook and experiment at home, and I've mixed some very weird things in my time. but just for me, I'm happy to eat them. But I think this is really how you learn how to cook. And it's how to take the things that you have, pair them together, try them out, try them a few different things that you might not normally, and see what you come up with. And you might impress your family.
I wanted to end on that point, Wes, the idea that, okay, yes, we can rely on recipes, and recipes are great, especially good recipes. But can you give some inspiration for people to have the confidence to say, okay, I got the basics down. Here's how I can start to play with this.
You know, the key to that, and for any cook, any professional chef or any cook at home, is to taste as you go. And that is really the key. And you've got to keep tasting. If you're starting with some meat and you have that cooked, even if it's some ground beef and you've added a few seasonings, taste it before you add those diced tomatoes and that cooked pasta, if you're making sort of like an American goulash type of thing. But keep tasting along the way, because you need to know what you're making before you serve it to your family, just as any chef in a restaurant would before they put it out to the table for their customers. So that's really how to learn. And you also should try to use different parts of your palate. If you go look at vinegar, sour, tart flavors, sweet flavors, salty flavors, and then texture, and play with those different elements, you will start to begin to teach yourself how to put a more balanced meal together. But you can't get anywhere without tasting. You certainly can't throw something together and throw it on the table and expect it to be good if you don't know what it tastes like while you're making it.
Wes, thanks so much for being with us today.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
That's Wes Martin, culinary director at Milk Street, with us today to talk about the new cookbook he and his team developed recipes for. It's called Cook What You Have. Make a meal out of almost anything. You can find a link to the cookbook along with the recipes we talked about today at WPR.org/Food Friday, and check out Milk Street Radio Sunday mornings at 10 right here on the Ideas Network.